Here we go. Calling Ben time. It's Calling Ben time on the phone. And it's me, Calling Ben, on the phone. And it's ringing. Did Ben forget? He couldn't have forgotten. It's
Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben. I knew it.
What's happening?
Not much. As you know, it's Sunday. Oh, the dog's here. He has arrived. I'm going to take him. If he's following me, I'm going to take him outside. So that's what I'm doing. I'm taking the dog outside. But there's more than just that.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
I'm thinking about science fiction conventions.
In what regard?
Well, okay. So I've posted this on my... Oh, the dog's licking my hand and sniffing the recorder. I posted this on Twitter, one aspect of it. But I'm going to... Oh my gosh, what's going on, dog? He's very excited to be going outside, I guess.
Is there a cat in the yard? Is there something else?
No. We're still in the house. That's the thing. He's just really... He does this thing now where he uses his arms to hug me. He gets close to me, and then he uses his arms and grabs onto me like he's Smeagol or something. I don't know. Does Smeagol grab onto people a lot?
You know what? I couldn't tell you.
I think he does. I think maybe he gets a little handsy with people sometimes.
My aunt had a dog once that would nonstop lick you. Like, if you were sitting on the couch. Yeah. It was a tiny dog. It was kind of the size of Edward. And if you sat on the couch, it would jump up on the back of the couch and just start cleaning your neck. I don't know if it liked the salt that is in human skin or it was just overly friendly or what was going on. But it was a thing.
I think it's probably the salt. I want to say, or he's just tasting you. You know, boy, I might want to bite into this later.
Exactly.
But yeah, so, I don't know. He like uses his paws like they're hands, kind of like a raccoon might.
Okay.
Or like he'll, if he wants to, like chew on something, he'll pick it up and like grab onto it and stuff.
He'll pick it up?
Yeah, pick it up with his hands. He'll move it with his hands. There are people who are record. Oh my gosh, that's AJ Schnock, I think. That's AJ Schnock! AJ Schnock! Oh my gosh. Ben, mark
what?
This time. That's AJ Schnock.
I don't know what you're talking about or what an AJ Schnock is.
AJ Schnock is a he's a filmmaker who grew up in Edwardsville.
And is he in your front yard right now?
No, he just drove by in a station wagon, and the station wagon had a camera mounted to it. And, so AJ Schnock, you know the All Things Must Pass video?
I don't.
That OK Go did.
I don't think that's called Rube Goldberg machine. Pass. I think it's I couldn't tell you what it is, but
it's not this too. You know what I'm talking about.
Or this
the
too
Rube
shall...
Goldberg machine.
Well, yeah, I know that video. I can't remember the name of the song, but I know the video.
Okay, so he produced that video.
Okay.
And so yeah, so he's driving down. My street. Driving Ben, this is not a hallucination. This actually just happened. Driving down my street in a station wagon with a camera mounted to the front of it. That was the weirdest thing. It's like, I don't know, maybe
how did he,
like...
So was his name on the side of the car? How did you
No,
him?
I went to grade school with him. My mom taught at the school that his dad was the principal of.
And he was driving and there was just a film camera mounted to the front of the car?
Yeah, and it was him and like four other people, like I don't know what you would call it,
an entourage,
crew, I guess.
A crew.
Yeah.
And so they were they're taking footage of just driving down residential streets in Edwardsville.
Yeah, I guess so. And if in fact it's for something, there will be a picture of me going, that's AJ Schnock. into a camcorder. I mean, a recorder. Oh, that's bizarre. I kind of want to.
Do you have his contact information? Maybe you can get him on the podcast.
I don't, but you know what I can do?
What's that?
He is definitely on Twitter. I could Twitter him and say, "Hey man, did you just drive by my house?" And I'll do that after the podcast. I'm not going to do it now, Ben. Why would I do it now? That's not a thing that we do here. You know what I could do? I could call my mom and conference her in and ask if she knows if AJ isn't going to be in town, because she usually finds out that kind of stuff.
We don't need to bother mom.
Okay. All right. Settling down now.
But okay, if you find out what that project was for, I mean, what that film was for, then let us know.
Yeah, I definitely will. I'm gonna do the whole podcast from out here, just in case he drives by again.
So, science fiction conventions.
Okay, so science fiction convention. Thanks, Ben. Sorry for that detour. But that was the weirdest thing. It's like if you were at Annex, and you got a call for the beer thing. Which, by the way, I apologize.
Huh?
For those of you that don't follow Ben and I on Twitter. Ben noticed that I said to Betty that Ben was leaving the podcast early because he had to go get beer.
Oh.
not thinking to explain to her that there was a beer delivery that he was going to be picking up. Now,
it was more like I had to have a drink right now.
Yeah, exactly. His hands are shaking. No, all right. So you're a... Let's say that you're an actor. Hey, wait, you are an actor. But let's say, Ben, that you're an actor in a famous national, science fiction show.
Let's say.
Like one that, like Star Trek, let's say, or whatever. And you do Star Trek a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's your job.
You go into work every day. It's how people know you.
Yeah. Your coworkers are other actors who are also on the show and the director and things like that. And then you go to a convention where a whole bunch of people want to talk to you about your job and how you do it and how your coworkers do it.
Yeah.
It's got to be a little, and I tried to come up with what it would be like. And this is what I came up with. It's like if somebody said to me, so I go to a hotel and there are waves of people who are waiting to talk to me. And I know that they're there to talk to me about my job, right? And the whole reason I was thinking about this is because there was a science fiction Comic-Con where the Twin Peaks folks were having a Twin Peaks panel.
Right.
And people would say stuff like, how do you feel about being in this TV show? And they'd be like, well, I really enjoy being in this TV show. It's a good show. Great. How did you do this? Well, my agent said, do you want to be on Twin Peaks? And so I said yes, and I went in there, and I went on this is the audition process I went through. Great. And then somebody else says, so are you happy that you did this show? Like that kind of stuff. It's just they're talking about you being in the show.
They're talking
you
about
have
their,
been
their
in the show.
Experience of being in the show.
Right.
And not necessarily the show itself.
And I guess it's because, maybe it wasn't all the way done yet, so they didn't want to do any spoilers, that kind of thing. But I was thinking about it, and the way I was thinking about it was this. Let's say that I, go to a hotel, ways of people come up to me, and they're like, so Steve likes coffee, huh? And I'm like, I'm sorry, Steve. Steve, he really likes coffee. Drinks it all the time? And I'm like, oh, Steve the developer. Yeah, he loves... I also like coffee. Well, that's great. I notice you don't drink coffee a lot. No, I don't. Well, you should tell Steve that I like the way he drinks coffee, because it's like how I drink coffee. Okay. And also think about drinking coffee. Okay, bye. And then he leaves. And then somebody else comes up and they're like, I just want to let you know that I work with paper a lot.
So you're transposing the experience of a famous actor to the experience of an office worker.
Yes. Like this would be, because being a famous actor is your job, right?
Yes.
All the things about being a famous actor that we think are exciting, right?
Yeah.
Kind of day to day for them now. Kind of mundane, sort of not something that they really have a lot of new stuff to talk about.
Well, you know, only if they've lost the passion. I'm sure there's a few people out there who just marvel at the every day at the fact that they get to do what they do. I can't remember who this was. I was reading an interview with somebody, and they were talking about some famous actress, some like a Meryl Streep or somebody of that caliber.
Yeah.
And they were just like, you know, you get paid so much money. This is like on a press tour. You get paid so much money to do a film. How does it feel to, you know, to get paid to do what you love? And their response was, I'm not paid to act. I'll do the movie for free. What I'm being paid for is to promote the film.
Oh.
Basically, you know, they're able to it was kind of a dig at the reporter, honestly, but they're making it. They've convinced themselves that they're being paid for the hard part, for the difficult part, for the part that's not fun.
That, you know, that's a very good way to think about it. Kind of like I like drawing, right?
Yeah,
drawing is fun. But drawing for a purpose, drawing to get a book done. I went back inside. It doesn't look like they're coming back. And the wind was, I hopefully it's not going to be too bad, but the wind was blowing. And you might hear a little bit of that in the audio.
Oh, that's fine.
But so the basic idea is that I like the drawing part. Right? I like the thinking up the story part.
Yeah.
But then getting it into workable shape by a certain period of time. Oh, and the other thing is that, you know, the actual stuff itself, while it's in your head and you're just thinking of it, this is the big thing I figured out. It can be whatever, right? You don't have to do a lot with it, and it's fine. You know, stuff can be inconsistent. Things don't have to make sense. You know, as soon as you start putting it on paper, you suddenly realize, oh, this thing that I thought would work doesn't work because my brain kind of just sort of mushed over the details.
My brain made the connections internally that externally don't really make any sense. So
exactly,
now I have
yes.
to fix that.
Or it gets published, especially if you self-publish. It gets published, and you're like, "Oh no, I didn't think of any of that."
Right.
Hundreds of people are going to read this, and it's not going to make any sense, and it's all my fault. You know, that kind of thing. So that's not cool necessarily. So I don't know if that's like if actors in famous things feel that way or not. You know, like imagine there's a scene, and because you and I have both done acting, Ben, and you know, sometimes you're happy with your performance, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
In theater, it's great because, you know, you can look over your entire run of a show and
right.
go, boy, you know, on Wednesday I did a really good job, whatever.
Yeah. And you know, if you had a bad performance, you just say, well, that happened and I'll do better next time.
And hopefully it wasn't recorded. you know, and hopefully it's not the only recording of that exists.
Right.
That kind of thing. But yeah, for actors, especially actors on shows where you only get, you know, a couple takes, like lower budget films
right.
and stuff like that. And I think that's part of the thing with low budget acting, right? one thing is that you're paying actors who maybe aren't the best, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of a disservice to the actors. I think that probably one of the things is that the actors in big budget things get more takes to get it right. You know what I mean? They can say, no, I want to do this again.
They get more takes, but they also have an infrastructure around them that allows them to succeed. If they have to do an accent on a big budget movie, they probably have a dialect coach. If they have to do any kind of like, I don't want to say stunt work, but any kind of like, if they need to do have like a technical skill, you know, like if they need to be proficient with a gun, that there's an armorer on set that'll teach them how to do all that kind of thing. They have that mechanism in place to allow them to succeed.
I think I might have said this before, but did you see the Keanu Reeves going through a like a gun tactical obstacle course thing?
Like rehearsing for John Wick 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. He's very good. He's had some training.
Yeah, there was a thing, and I might have mentioned this before. I don't remember. But there was a guy who was an army guy. He was an army guy. He was a tactical shooter guy, you know.
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff. And they said, what would you rate him? And he goes, probably a B minus.
It's pretty good.
And and this is the thing. They said they were asking what they thought of him if he was in their field, like not as an actor doing this stuff, but like how he compared to people who do this for a living. So that's not bad at all, I think.
It's done. It's pretty good.
And so, you know, I'm not saying that he's like super or anything, but if I needed help and needed saving and they said, who would you pick, Keanu Reeves or some guy you don't know? I'd say Keanu Reeves, probably.
Well, I mean, what it illustrates is that Keanu Reeves puts in the work. He does his homework. He puts in the work. He's not coasting by on his star power alone. It shows that he actually really cares about his performances.
And I think that's great.
Yeah.
So, once again, if you're listening to this in the future and it turns out that Keanu Reeves has like killed a bunch of people in real life and is a horrible person. We're just talking about what we know about him, not endorsing. I can't believe we still have to do this, Ben. It's right here in our contract, though. Every single time we mention anyone.
Yeah.
We got to point out, oh yeah, if Edward has killed a lot of people, when I say that he's a good boy, I mean simply as a dog going potty outside. Oh, hey. Speaking about which, who went potty outside? Oh my gosh, such a good dog. Such a good dog. What do good dogs get? What do they get? They get pepperonis. That's right. A pepperoni for you. Oh man, it's so far away from when you were up. Come on, up. So far away from when you peed outside, you may not even know what's happening. Sometimes good things just happen.
He's just getting a random treat, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure dogs appreciate random treats.
Yeah, they do. But I'm really trying to reward him right away when he goes outside. Because he's not consistent in that regard. I would like him to be more consistent.
Does he still have accidents inside the house?
Sometimes, but he's doing so much better.
Yeah.
Unless you're my landlord, in which case, no! He is so good! But no, we have a spot cleaner and stuff.
I've probably mentioned these poodles before, but when I was a kid, we had these two poodles. We had them they lived a long time. They both lived to be about 20, 21. But when they were, we never really properly potty trained them. It got to the point where they no longer went inside the house, but they would do their business in the garage. Even though there was a door that they could go to get outside, and they had free reign of the outside, they would still just go in the garage. And it was really kind of annoying because at this point they're like full grown dogs and less trainable.
So I wonder, for this one, because he sometimes goes in the basement.
Yeah.
I wonder if it reminds them of like a cave or something, and that they figure that that's good enough. Like it was a cement floor, right? I'm guessing.
Yeah, that. Cement floor. I think it's just they didn't want to go outside. Maybe because it was probably. Cold. Or they were scared of something. I don't know.
I'm not sure what this one's going to be doing when it's wintertime. Because he's so low to the ground, Ben. All low to the ground, just like the... What is it? The fog is a...
A fat cloud?
Fattened cloud? Is that it?
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I gotta say, this dog, though, Ben, like, I get it. I actually, I feel myself absorbing his energy and feeling better about it when I do it. If that makes sense.
So,
like, I can feel sad, and then I hug him, and I don't feel sad anymore.
No, I always had dogs growing up, and they were great companions. You know, I remember specifically one time when my dad was, he wasn't really yelling at me, but I had screwed up. I admit that, you know, and he was, you know, giving me a talk. And
it's good that after all this time, you're ready to admit it, Ben.
Exactly. At the time, no. I was just sitting out on the back deck while dad was talking to me and our dog Rex, a big, big fat black lab, just sat next to me. And I put my arm around him and just held on to him while I was getting the business from my father.
Yeah.
And it was nice to have that thing that would give me unconditional love just right by my side.
I imagine Bob Odenkirk yelling at you going, "You don't get to hug the dog.
Get away from the dog. God damn it."
So, hey, by the way, have we talked about Utopia before?
Probably. This is episode 177.
Utopia is a TV show. It was on BBC, not BBC, sorry. It was on Channel 4.
Channel 4.
And there's this comic book, and these people are trying to find it. And it's good. It's sort of like a dark, thrillery kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that... Amazon has purchased the rights to it, and they're making a U.S. version.
Of course.
And the fun part is, Rainn Wilson's going to be in it. And I just wonder if they expect that he will be the good luck charm.
Who's going to be in it?
That turns... Rainn Wilson?
Oh, Rainn Wilson.
That turns the British property that is going to be an American show. Like, if they feel it's going to bring success to
have
him. He
is a good luck charm for that.
But it's... The reason that I like the show so much, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but I've again, just posted this on Twitter. Ben, I went through and blocked anybody that I don't know. Not on all of Twitter, but of the people who are following me.
Yeah.
Because my paranoia is such that I don't want people that I don't know reading my stuff and then screen capturing it and sending it out to people. Have I gone too paranoid? I think I might have.
I think yes, you might have. Because I saw that tweet earlier today, and I think that's a bridge too far you've crossed.
But the thing is, Ben, how do I know that funnygiftsaboutwhales.com is really my friend? that's the thing, is that I think about how, because some of the things that followed me, this is the big part. Some of the things that followed me before I closed my account, right?
Yeah.
Were like entrepreneur sites and things like that, you know, just, you know, not bots necessarily, but sort of bots.
Well, you know,
kind of like bots.
They just mass follow accounts for no other purpose.
But the thing is that if they sell their account information to people, right? If they sell their account to people, those people can also read my tweets because they're my followers. When you lock your account, any followers you have can read your tweets.
Yeah.
And I understand your point is, why would you hold on for just a second, Ben. it's time to take a break and something that we like to call Investigate Betty.
Huh?
Hey, Betty. Betty. Yeah? Hey, it's your dad. How's it going? So I see that these cake cups that I bought, one of the cake cups is missing. Did you eat it?
No. What? Cake cups?
Cake cups. Did you open them?
Yeah, I did.
You opened them and then you saw that it wasn't what you wanted?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Nope, because I bought them for me. All right, thank you, Betty. That's all I want to make sure about. I bought these gluten-free, vegan cake cup nastiness things because I wanted to try them.
Cake cup
and I was,
nastiness?
It's not called cake cup nastiness. It's just called cake cups.
Oh.
But it's everything that you don't want to do with cake. You know, it's tapioca starch and rice flour and citrus fiber instead of, you know, eggs and milk and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Because they're healthier, quote unquote, and all that. But I was afraid that Betty had eaten one. And if she had, I was going to apologize to her because she gets the good cake cups. And
oh, she wasn't going to be in trouble for eating something that you bought for you?
No, if she had eaten them. What I would have done was like, I would have done something like this. So, how'd you like it? Like that. And then she would tell me that it was bad. And then I would have said, yeah, those are mine. But I, no, she would not
like
have been in trouble.
I like eating bad food.
I do. It's a character
trait. There was a tech here at the theater a couple years ago, and they bought some like vegan gluten-free power bars, like energy
Ooh.
Bars, and
yeah.
There was a big sign on the box. I had one because I got to the theater and I was super hungry, and it was like, you know, in the middle of the week, so I'm like, okay, well, these are left over, I'm gonna try one. And
yeah.
There was a big sign on the front that said, now even tastier. And and I was
not one made by the person who brought them in.
No. It was a store.
I thought
store
you
bought.
Meant there was a big sign that was like free, please
oh.
take or whatever.
No.
But no, it was a
store bought unit.
A store bought unit.
I shudder to think how bad they tasted before.
Oh no, Ben. Oh no. I will say this: when you get to I have just upped my daily calorie intake.
Oh, have you?
It was 1,200. I've upped it to 1,400 because I started getting brain fog where I would, and I still sort of do it, but I'm getting better as more food.
Are you sure that's connected to the amount of calories and not the type of calories you're consuming?
I'm pretty sure. Because the brain fog comes about because I'm like, there used to be a thing, I don't know if you remember me saying this, where I don't get hungry, you know, in general.
Sure.
I get hungry now. And I wasn't getting hungry.
You're only eating 1,200 calories a day.
Right. I'm getting hungry simply because...
Is this a brain fog moment?
That's a brain fog moment. See, that's what happens. I was getting hungry, or I wasn't getting hungry. Sorry, because anytime that I was about to get hungry, or anytime my body was like, "Hey, we should be hungry now," I was just eating more stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like you never run out of gas if you are constantly pumping gas into your car.
Right.
And it's spilling out
but
all over the place.
Never driving.
Yeah, exactly. So now I don't drive, but I also don't put as much gas in.
Yeah.
But it was getting to the point where I was feeling a little bit low. So basically, I've added like 50 calories per meal.
And I've never really counted calories. What does 50 calories come out for? Is it like a cake
it's
cup?
Another. like a Baby Bell mozzarella cheese. You know the Baby Bell cheese, right?
I do not. Is it just
the red little red cheeses?
Okay.
They're like tiny. They come in a knit bag.
Yeah. I've seen those.
Okay, so I eat those. The regular kind are 70, but the mozzarella cheese kind are 50. So that's an example. I can eat an extra one of those.
Good Lord, how long does it take you to grocery shop?
What do you mean? Forever, I guess?
Yeah, because you gotta examine every aspect of everything you buy.
Oh, no. This is the thing is, I buy kind of what I want to buy, right? And I eat it. And then I have two different ways I do it. The first is, in the morning, I eat the thing I really want to eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Donuts.
And then I eke out, maybe there. I eat a whole package of Hostess donuts, right? And then for the rest of the day, I eat only little things, right?
Yeah.
Or the other way that I do it is that, well, actually, there are three ways. The other way I do it is that I eat the bare minimum, and then I have a big meal at night.
Yeah.
Or the final way is, of course, like you're thinking, I map everything out, so I'm eating exactly 350 in my four eating points of the day. Four eating points of the day being 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 7 p.m. And that way, when I'm hungry, when I get hungry, it's usually only like another hour before I can eat again.
Yeah.
And I can hack being hungry for an hour.
Do you stick to that, or do you snack between those hours?
I rarely snack between those hours because, you know, it's, like I said, it's every 4 hours. So there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of time when I need to snack.
I'm working in an office right now, and there's snacks everywhere. And
a lot of
healthy snacks, and I'm able to eke out a pretty decent lunch from all the snack foods.
Free snacks everywhere?
Yeah,
it's not a snack bar. It's just free.
I mean, like in all the kitchens, there's chips and fruits and cheeses and hard boiled eggs and juices and there's just stuff everywhere. And so if I So like I said, I can put together a pretty decent lunch, which is what I do. But there's also like a whole bunch of unhealthy snacks. There's also like a couple of candy walls, you know, it's like one of those bulk tubes. You know, it's like a 3-foot tube that you would see in a grocery store for bulk foods, just full of Starburst. I have to practice so much self-restraint when I walk past these things because I have to eat all of that.
Now I will say, and not to give too much away again, I don't like talking about work on the podcast, but the candy dish. There's a dish of candy.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. But it is, you know, a perk.
Yeah. I mean,
we used to do more. But, oh, sorry, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when I used to work at Vulcan, and I don't mind dropping that name because I've dropped it before, there wasn't a whole lot of snackage. There was, like, microwave popcorn, but you get tired of that after a while. But the reception desk did have a candy dish. And fortunately, I actually knew the receptionist, so I didn't feel too bad about going down and just grabbing a couple of things of candy.
Oh, hey, can we talk about this sort of goes into something. Something that didn't exist when you and I were in Seattle, and it still doesn't exist in Seattle. You and I were tech bros.
Yeah.
Kind of. We were sort of tech bros, kind of. I mean, we weren't, but we were.
Kind of.
You know, we weren't bros, but we were single people working in the tech field.
Right.
That's probably
making more money than we were allowed to. Not allowed to, but, you know, I thought that in that job I was making more money than I should have earned. Just because I was working for a good company.
You and I differ. I thought that I deserved all the money I was getting.
Well, don't get me wrong. I would have liked more, and it's by today's standard, it's not a lot at all. But it was enough to live comfortably on back in 2001.
Yeah, and also, I mean, having now worked jobs where I think that you were there when I said my little idea of the dividing line between cushy job and non-cushy job.
Yes.
Is whether or not you have to ask someone.
Right.
If you can go and pee.
Go use the restroom, yes.
Oh, and also, but not just that you have to, if you have to ask someone, not a cushy job. If you can't leave your job because you're holding it until a break.
Right.
Also not a cushy job. The cushy job is I need to pee. I'm just going to leave work. I'm going to go pee and it's fine.
Yeah.
Some people said that that is not a cushy job. Most of the people who said that were people who can go and pee whenever they want. You know what I mean? Whereas someone who couldn't do that was like, yeah, that's a cushy job. You're never going to get... Everybody's going to feel like their job isn't the cushiest.
Right.
I think.
Just because they can identify something about it that they wish were better.
Right. When I determine, okay, is my job, current job... I think my current job is good.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of the other jobs I had. And I was like, okay, well, what makes it better? And one of the things I realized is that in almost all my other jobs, I had to actually say, hey, I'm going to go and use the bathroom. Is that cool?
Really? Even when you worked down with near me in the International District at that company?
Okay.
Did you have to ask permission to go use the restroom?
I didn't have to ask permission, but I did let people know. Like, especially, you know, I had several different jobs there.
Yeah.
Customer service, answering phones and stuff. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't leave until, I mean, you could, but you couldn't also, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, sure, you're free to do, it's like the companies that have unlimited vacation.
Yeah.
You can go on vacation whenever you want. No problem. And then it turns out you never end up taking vacation because everybody relies on you to do, you know, your thing.
I had a temp
job.
And
there's no replacement.
I had a temp job where it's one of the few jobs where I had to answer phones, where I was a customer facing representative of this company. And I honestly can't remember now if I had to tell people when I got up to go use the restroom. I think... Now that I'm talking about it, it's starting to come back to me. There was a button on my phone that just forwarded calls that were going to come to my phone to somebody else's phone. So I just had to hit that button. That way my phone wouldn't ring. And then when I got back to my desk, I just, you know, disengaged that button and my phone would ring again.
Now here's the thing. I will say this. I believe that we also had something of that nature.
Yeah.
But in the same way, you couldn't really do it a lot of times because somebody else was already doing it.
Right. Like, you know, you couldn't leave unless Mary was at her desk.
Exactly. Yeah. I bring it up all the time, but I still, in the early days when I was working nights, throwing pencils at my coworker so that he would wake up and answer the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause he was sleeping at his desk. Phone was ringing,
and then I would get, not at all.
No, he was an interesting guy. But yeah. In the future, I think we're going to be able to do a thing where the time delay between, like, especially if we get to space, right?
Yeah,
is such that face-to-face communication is going to be kind of a thing of the past. But I mean voice-to-voice communication, so everything's going to be like chat.
Right.
You know, you have time, and you know that they're not going to be able to answer you right away, so everybody is cool as far as taking breaks go.
Yeah.
But I am going to go back outside, because the dog is going crazy. Uh-oh. And normally when the dog goes crazy, there's a chance that maybe he needs to go outside.
He wants a snack, so he's going to go outside, pretend to pee, then come back in and get a snack.
Man, that's something I was thinking about. You remember back when Betty was learning to read? Maybe, anyway. I think that you heard this conversation. The question of whether or not she could actually read, or if she just memorized every page of the book and knew when to turn the pages, came up.
I don't recall that conversation.
That was a question. So we had told people that Betty could read, and then somebody said, I don't know if she can actually read or if she's just memorized every page and the picture on that page, and she knows what to say. And then we
memorized,
like,
meaning when you read it to her.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And so there was the thing that we did where we would point to a word and we'd say, what's that word? And then she would tell us what the word was. And so we figured, okay, yeah, she can actually read it.
Yeah.
And then my point was always, but if she did memorize that book, is that also not impressive and kind of cool? So
it is an interesting feat, but pointing out individual words, I think, is, you know, the deciding factor.
Yeah. So the other point that I was thinking about, as far as that goes, if you have, you know, an AI, right?
Yeah.
Because right now we have robocalls, right?
Yeah.
And it's somebody usually using a soundboard and says, hi, this is Chad. I was wondering if I could talk to you about your long distance service. And you say, no, Chad, I'm happy with my long distance service. And then there's a pause. And then Chad says, oh, well, would you mind telling me why you like your long distance service? And you're like, I don't really want to tell you that. And there's a pause.
Right.
And Chad says, oh, okay, are you busy? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And because there's somebody on the other end who's pushing those buttons, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
And the thing that that Jennifer and I will do is we'll ask them to tell us something that isn't in their script. We'll say, okay, Chad, I will continue to talk with you, but first I need you to say the word baboon. And they'll go, ha, 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 do I sound like that? And you're like, okay, see?
Yeah.
No. And you've already jumped ahead, I think, to the premise, which is that if at some point in time there's not a person pushing buttons behind there, but instead there is a... And that's why I think that there is somebody pushing buttons, because they've understood what I've said and they're trying to make the soundboard do something that makes sense, which I believe is beyond AI right now.
Do you think it's because that sounds kind of antiquated to me, where there's an actual human listening to this conversation and they're pushing buttons depending upon a script that needs to be followed so a robot can see these voices. I think it's gotten to the point where the voice recognition has gotten complex enough and the AI has gotten comprehensive enough that it can understand what you're saying. So that pause is the processing time it takes for the AI to spit out the answer or the response to what you've said. There's no human listening in to this conversation.
Yeah, again, you're jumping ahead to my premise, but let me back up for just a second. I believe that as of right now, at least the specific call that I'm talking about, I believe that is still a person behind the soundboard. And the reason I think they're doing it that way is because they, and when I say they, I mean the people who are running the company, have learned that somebody with an accent who does these robocalls, people hang up faster. They're wrong.
Really?
I think.
What makes you say that?
But yeah, why they're wrong?
No, why you think business has discovered that people hang up on accents faster.
Oh, that is anecdotal evidence from listening to people in my area dealing with robocalls, where they will say things like, and this is a verbatim quote, "I knew it was a scam right away. The guy could barely speak English." Stuff like that. So if you're going if you're going after those folks, right?
Yeah.
Using because the soundboard sounds like a Midwestern accent. And it doesn't sound like a robot. It sounds like a pre-recorded thing. I think, and this is where I'm getting to my final premise, is that in the end, right, whether or not there's a person pressing buttons or an AI deciding what to say,
yeah,
the net effect is going to be the same. And this was my premise that, again, like I said, you've already jumped to it. In the end, it doesn't matter anymore, really. What's behind the computer voice, or the, not the computer voice, but the pre-recorded voice,
yeah,
doesn't matter anymore. The net effect is the computer voice that is, you know, spitting these things out at you. It's just a question of what's cheaper for the people to do. Here's my question. Do you think that the idea that there is someone who is pressing buttons has never happened or is not happening now?
I'm not going to say it's never happened
I'm trying to gauge your thoughts on the premise, basically.
I think when I've received robocalls that are like an automated voice and it's not an actual person, but it's like a call and response.
These sound like actual people.
No, I know. It's not like a computer.
And I just want to make sure that you and I are talking about the same types of calls.
Yeah. It's you know, because I've gotten a couple calls where, like, you know, I answer the phone and it's like, "Hello, is Barbara there?" And I'm like, "I think you have the wrong number." And then there's like maybe a 2-second pause. And then the voice says, "Well, then maybe you can help me. My name is Bob with the blah, 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 blah charity."
Yeah, you and I are talking about exact same thing. But so,
I never assumed that there was actually an actual human being listening to that and guiding the conversation. I always just assumed, and I could be completely wrong, that I'm talking with a computer.
And that's the thing, is that in my opinion... due to some of the interactions that I've had, I feel like, at least at the time that I had those interactions, I'm not saying now, because now it's entirely possible that they could do this, but there was some lateral thinking that was being done behind the scenes that I do not believe a computer could have replicated. Now, and again, it's the ha ha ha, do I really sound like that?
Right. That being said, I'm sure that because, you know, of the thousands and thousands of robocalls that are made every day, I don't think it's possible to have people on every one of them. But I do believe that there could be people on a handful of them that are guiding the conversation that enables the machine learning.
But, and now here's the, and I think we're getting to the crux of it. At some point in time, and I think you'll agree with me on this, AI will be sophisticated enough that a robot or a computer will be able to be as annoying as a live person talking to you. Like, there will be no difference.
Yeah.
The net effect for the end user is going to be the same. Like, you can try to get off of the phone with them, and they'll be able to respond and go, "Well, hey, why do you think that is?"
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Like, talk like a regular person. In the same way that we have been trapped in conversations like that in the past.
Right. It ultimately preys on people's guilt. People don't feel bad about hanging up on a computer or hanging up on a robot. But people do feel bad about hanging up on a fellow human being, even if, you know, because, like, the person calling is probably trying to raise money for a charitable cause. You just don't want to or can't contribute to that. So you feel bad. And so it's you know, your empathy keeps you on the line.
And the other thing I'll say is, and this sort of segues directly into something that I've been thinking about a lot. The idea of bots on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? Bots used to be like an actual thing. Like they were bots, and they are an actual thing. You know, a bot that goes out and does stuff, you know, with canned responses and things like that. I've seen, you might have seen this too. I have created a bot that will argue with people about pro-life stuff.
Right.
And it just goes on and on and on. And it's funny how much real people will argue with this,
right,
with this bot. Right. In the same way, I have seen people who are obviously human beings, accounts that are actual people are behind the accounts, being called bots. And they say, oh, don't worry, that's just a Russian bot. And I feel as though, just like the definition of troll has changed, the definition of bot has changed a little bit too, where a bot is now someone who is intractable with an agenda.
Though they're an actual human being and not...
But even though they're an actual
algorithm.
Human being.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is I guess, because the net effect is the same, basically.
Yeah. Is there an ice cream truck in the background over there?
Oh, no. Those are my wind chimes.
Ah.
Yeah, so I can find my house in the dark.
As long as it's windy.
Yeah, exactly. You never can be too careful. But so yeah, I think in the future, and it might already have happened. This is part of the reason, Ben, getting back to the reason why I blocked a bunch of accounts.
Right.
Even though they seemed perfectly fine, is that I believe we're going to find out, and I said this back in 2016, and I didn't say it strongly enough, I guess, listen to the old tapes and all that, but I think we're going to find that the Russian interference stuff, and again, more than Russians, it can be companies, it can be other governments, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Special interest groups.
Yeah, exactly. Members of, you know, our own parties and all that kind of stuff. They don't just have these throwaway accounts. You know, they give you this thing. Hey, if this account has been active for under a year and has less than 100 followers, just block them because they're, you know, throwaway accounts.
Yeah.
In the same way, I believe that there are also accounts that are established. Accounts with personalities that people like recognize and stuff like that. I'm not talking about like, you know, the guy from Mythbusters or, you know, the actor on this TV show, but I'm talking about famous Twitter accounts that are just Twitter accounts. You know, they're only famous because they're Twitter accounts.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything outside of Twitter, but they're just...
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like at some point in time, as this thing goes on, some of these people, we're going to find out, were never really a real person. And all these people that we've retweeted and we've done all this stuff.
Are you telling me the dog rates person is just a bot?
Well, that's an example. That is definitely an example because, but I mean, I'm not saying the dog rates person is a bot, by the way. No. But that is
an example of a Twitter account that is famous because it's a Twitter account and not because it's a star or an author.
This is the exact point. If you follow the We Rate Dogs account, right?
Yeah.
And then you decide that you don't want people viewing your tweets that you don't know anymore, so you lock your account. The We Rates Dog app, if it's followed you,
is the key part.
Yeah. And you keep it in. They can still read every tweet that you've posted.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people that I know on Twitter that I know, quote unquote, from LiveJournal, right, back when it started.
Right.
And so I've known them for a really long time. I've never actually met them.
Yeah.
I have not blocked those people. And the reason I haven't was exactly the thing that I was talking about, where if you put the work in as an AI... Eventually, you'll be as annoying as a real telemarketer.
Yeah.
In the same way, they've put the work in if some of these people aren't real, they put enough work in that they're real enough as real as the people that are actual people behind accounts.
Right.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
That we're reaching a place now where being fake and being real doesn't matter if you only know the person on an online medium. And that's pretty crazy.
But and here ends the lesson.
My throat hurts, which Jennifer Pratt will tell you, is an example of me knowing that I've been monologuing and not listening to other people. I'm sorry, Ben. But thank you for coming with me on this journey. And speaking about coming with me on this journey, hey, Betty!
What?
Betty!
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. She's coming.
She playing a video game?
Well, I don't know. Let's find out.
Gotta get to a save point.
When she shows up. Hey, Betty.
Hi.
What were you doing?
Watching YouTube.
What were you watching on YouTube?
Just a guy doing stuff.
Huh.
A teen influencer?
It's a guy looking at TikTok, Dad.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand this. You were watching...
Boy! I don't know...
A YouTube video of someone else watching TikTok videos.
A TikTok reaction video?
Was it a TikTok reaction video?
It's by a guy called PewDiePie.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I have forsaken the family name.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Jennifer doesn't care. Here's the thing. I feel as though... Betty, let me ask you a really quick question. Did the Holocaust happen?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I think we're all right at this point.
Is PewDiePie a Holocaust denier?
What are you trying to tell me?
He has been in trouble for anti-Semitic statements in the past.
Is he a Holocaust denier?
I do not believe he's a Holocaust denier. Yeah. No, I do not mean to assume that he was. Here's the thing.
People say a lot of things about people on the internet. I don't know. I just think he's funny.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird because, you know, sometimes you see something that you really like, but then you find out that the person who made the thing is actually really stupid, but the thing is that it's still like so awesome, but you feel like you're obligated to hate it because they're an awful person.
Are you talking like Woody Allen films or what's your
Bill Cosby?
Oh, Bill Cosby.
Like
yeah.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah, that's a good one. Betty, I gotta say, yeah, it really makes me conflicted because I used to love listening to his albums when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I would listen to him all the time.
Well, who cares? I want to talk about something more lighthearted.
Okay, something more lighthearted. Giraffe falling down an up escalator. That's actually kind of sad, isn't it?
I had a sleepover with my friend Brendan.
Oh, yeah. Betty had a sleepover with her friend Brendan. How did that go, Betty?
Brendan?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did they
have
a good time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
But the thing is, he found out about how... About, my... My, excuse me. About, he found out about... how obsessed I am with Gotham.
Yeah.
And I think he is genuinely concerned.
I understand that. It makes sense that,
her obsession with that TV show is quite alarming.
Yeah. As Ben said, your obsession with that TV show is alarming. Oh, she's making a face. But, Betty... Everyone is entitled to their own fandom.
Exactly.
Yep, Ben said exactly. So, He feels all right about it. And on that note, oh no, she's wandering away in bed. Her arms are down. Her head is hung low. Oh yeah. Oh, she's now hugging her iPad, which used to be my iPad. I don't know how this happened. Oh, and she's, oh, her face, Ben. Oh, well, Ben, this has been a downer of an episode for some people, but other people maybe love it. Who knows? Oh, there were no corrections, by the way.
Oh,
I was told.
Yeah, I didn't look. Yeah, well, you know, tell Betty that it's okay to like what you like.
Hey, Betty.
You don't need to do it now.
Ben says it's okay to like what you like.
I know, but you said that it's troubling. Now I feel bad.
Oh my God.
And with that, Ben, I encourage you to keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong. I'll talk to you later. Fix
hey,
that.
Thanks, man.
Fix that for me.
What? Fix what?
Fix that. I didn't mean to. No, it's just, I'll talk to you later.
I believe, Ben, I could be wrong, but I don't think that I'm the only person who loves drama in this family. All right. I'll talk to you later, Ben.
All right, take care.
Yeah, and I'll find out about that AJ Schnock thing, and maybe you can put it in the notes or something.
Oh, yeah.
I swear it was him. It's so weird. Okay.
Let me know. Keep it wrong.
Talk to you later.
All right.
Yeah, keep it wrong. Bye.